Hey, you know, somebody said your dream should always be larger than your memories. Your dream should always be larger than your memories. So I want to just share some thoughts here on the subject of vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. God told the prophet Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the subject of vision. When I speak about vision, I'm talking about a person's mission in life. And Joseph is an excellent case study on the subject of vision. Joseph was an exceptional young man. He had a mission from God, and so do you. Joseph had a calling from God, and so do you. He was tempted and tried, and you will be too. Joseph was obligated to his father, opposed to evil, and obedient to God. But from ages 18 to 30, nothing went right for Joseph from a human point of view. I've asked Brother Tim to read the text. Genesis chapter 37, find that in your Bible. Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 11. If you would stand as you find that. Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 11.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age.
And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying.
Lord Jesus, thank you for inspiring us to greater works. Amen. You can be seated. Joseph had a God-given dream. This was not a daydream. It was not a wishful desire. It was not a night dream. It was not a figment of his imagination. But Joseph had a God-given dream that foretold of his future and gave him purpose. At the outset, Joseph was given a glimpse of his destiny, and I think we can learn a lot about the power of vision from Joseph. So number one, three things about it. Number one, vision is God-given. Say that out loud. Vision is God-given. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Now, God gave Joseph this strange vision. His fathers and brothers' sheaves bowing down, doing obeisance to him. Well, they didn't like it. His brothers despised him. His father rebuked him. Joseph's vision came in the forms of things he was familiar with, but, man, it was a strange dream. I mean, who ever heard of a sheaf doing obeisance to another sheaf? Strange. Now, let me say that you might not totally understand your vision initially. You're not going to get the full picture in one vision with God. God's interested in a relationship, not an event. So God tends to give information one paragraph at a time instead of one chapter at a time. Joseph had this vision and he blabbed his dream to his father. He had no idea of what he would go through. He had no idea of how God might accomplish all of this, but he spoke what he had seen. He verbalized his dream. Now God called him to deliver Israel from the Egyptians. So what did he do? He went out and slew one Egyptian. That was his idea. He didn't know how this was going to happen. And I want to say, He might not have done the right thing, but he did something, and God moved him and directed him the rest of the way. He was moving in accordance with his mission, and God directed him to the desert for a season to learn the ways of God. You might not comprehend your vision initially. Number two, others may not appreciate your vision. Other people may not appreciate your vision. Joseph's brothers, they were incensed when they heard about being subject unto him. They were intimidated by his dreams, infuriated by his dreams, agitated by his dreams, and they plotted to put him to death. Now listen, others may not comprehend your vision. Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. He was rejected by his own people. And the people who impact the world are people who have declared independence from other people's expectations. Can I say something to you? We need to get over the fear of man and get confident in what God has called us to do. And it might be different, but let me tell you something. Similarity brings comfort. That's why birds of a feather tend to flock together. Similarity brings comfort. But brother, it's your difference is going to be your contribution. Others may not appreciate your vision. Vision comes from God. It's something that God births in your heart. You don't decide your assignment. You discover your assignment. You don't determine your assignment. You discover what you were created for. So you need to identify your motivated interest. What captivates you? What are you passionate about? What do you stay awake at night and think about and dream about? I mean, what is your dream? You know, everybody's talking about the will of God, and everybody's looking for the will of God everywhere except in their own hearts. My Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can navigate the will of God through your sanctified desires. Don't downplay this whole idea. We have such a strong theology of depravity. We need a strong theology of victory, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something, friend. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're the righteousness of God. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Instead of beating people up with how wicked they are, why don't we get the scriptural confessions of the New Testament and believe that they're for us right here, right now. I'm a child of the living God. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint of God Almighty, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That was really good. Now. Now, when you're spirit-filled, you can discern the will of God through your desires. Pay attention to your sanctified desires. Vision is different from ambition. Vision is different from ambition. Ambition typically benefits self, but vision always benefits others. And I want to tell you, God-given vision is never self-promoting. It always promotes other people. Now, let me give you some definitions of vision, not original with me. They're on your sheet, and I think they'll be put on the screen as well. Look at these definitions. Number one, vision is a bridge from the past to the future. Two, vision is the eye of faith to see the invisible and the decisiveness to make it visible. Vision is the power that causes people to make huge sacrifices in order to become all that can become for God. Number four, vision is a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his chosen servants and is based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. Vision is adopting an action plan that will enable you to move forward in your Christian life and ministry. Vision is that inward fire which enables you to boldly communicate to your peers what the future will be like. Vision is that dynamic that enables you to translate your faith and dreams into a new and personal walk with God. And finally, vision is that God-given energy which will make you become a risk taker. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can play it safe and never do much, or you can pursue your dream. Warren Brown's pastoring a church in Czech, Virginia. They were in need of a heating and air conditioning system. He came to a prayer advance one time on Sunday morning. The next morning he got up. He said, I'm asking God to send in the finances for the heating and air for our church from outside the church. He said, some of you could write a check, but he said, I don't want you to write a check. He said, I want God to write the check, and I want him to send it in from somebody outside. He just got up and said this right on Sunday morning, and he comes back to church Sunday night with a check in his pocket from somebody outside the church for the entire amount of the heating and air conditioning system. Now, we can play it safe and not see much, or we can shoot the moon, brother. And I'm just here to tell you, Joseph had a vision, and it came from God. It's God-given. Number two, vision gets you through the fire. Vision gets you through the fire. Thank God there's a fourth man in the fire all the time. God destined Joseph to a place of great influence, responsibility, and power. But nothing develops character as much as adversity. He had to be put on the potter's wheel. He had pressure from within, pressure from without. He had faced two major fiery trials. Number one, with his own family. I mean, they spoke evil words. They committed evil acts. They conspired to kill him. Reuben talked him out of it. Stripped him of his coat. Shoved him in a pit. Sold him into slavery. Brother, when your own family is against you, you got a major public relations issue going on. Joseph suffered the great loss. He suffered the loss of his freedom. He suffered the loss of his father and his family and everything that he was familiar with. A tremendous trial. The second trial was Potiphar's wife. Now, there's no question but what? She was a very beautiful woman. She didn't need an extreme makeover. I'm just telling you. Guys like him, Potiphar, got the best-looking women in the kingdom, and she tried to seduce Joseph. There's women right now trying to seduce us. And can I just say something to you? There's a major problem going on in these days, a major problem. It's in your pocket. It's called the pocket prostitute. This is a pocket prostitute trying to seduce us. You know what? I had to cut off Amazon Prime on my telephone because I wasn't spiritual enough to skip through it to get to the good stuff. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And brother, I just want to tell you something. That old Joseph, he had this good-looking woman come after him, but he said, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God? I'm telling you, listen, he went through seasons of difficulty. And if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. There's always time possible to lose heart in times of difficulty. Joseph went through years of suffering and seclusion before he was exalted in Egypt. But he kept his focus. He never lost his dream. And don't let hard times strip you of your dream. His brothers put him in a pit. His boss put him in a prison. But Joseph went from the pit to the prison to the palace by the grace of God, because no root of bitterness ever rose up within his heart. We've all been wronged and cheated, and there's all kinds of injustices, and there's more coming, but brother, we can rise above it, and I'm telling you, all of this is just temporary. The Christian church people that ripped you off, they're going to give an account. Put it at the foot of the cross. Move on, brother, and don't become a career victim. You know, it was his hope for a better day that kept him going. And I want to tell you, adversity not only proves your faith, it improves your character as you respond in faith. Oh, Andrew Bonner said, we've gotten more from Paul's time in prison than we did from his trip to the third heaven. And brother, we got the book of Philippians while he was setting up in jail. Vision is that fire in your bone that conquers the fiery trials on earth. Thomas Brooks said, a man full of hope is full of action. A man that is full of hope is full of action. I want to tell you something, that Peter didn't do everything right. But Jesus birthed hope in him by giving him a mental photograph of his future when he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. God gave Abraham a mental photograph of his destiny when he said, your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven and like the sands of the sea. Brother, it's the fire in your heart that will get you through the fiery trials. There were two twins. One was optimistic. The other was a pessimist. So they took him to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist decided to put the optimist, a little boy who was an optimist, in a room full of horse manure, and then he took the pessimist, the depressed boy, and put him by himself in a room full of brand new toys. He left him for a while, and then he went back, and he found the kid, the pessimist, in the room full of brand new toys, weeping and crying and moaning and sitting in a corner, and the psychiatrist said, what's wrong? And the pessimist boy said, well, I was afraid I might break some of the toys. Then he went over and found the optimist kid in the room full of horse manure. He was in there having the time of his life, digging around, throwing the manure up in the air. And the psychiatrist said, well, what are you doing like this? He said, well, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony around here somewhere. It's how we look at it a lot of times, isn't it? It's how we lie. Listen. Don't focus on what you lost. Thank God for whatever you've got left. An optimist sees opportunity in every calamity, but a pessimist sees calamity in every opportunity. But goals will help you persevere. Vision gets you through the fire. Number three, vision determines your destiny. Vision determines your destiny. It was Joseph's vision that carried him through the hard times. Philip Brooks said this, sad will be the day for any man when he becomes satisfied with the life he is living and the thoughts he is thinking and the deeds he is doing. When there's not beating at the doors of his soul, a desire to do something greater, which he knows he was meant to do because he is a child of God. Where you are tomorrow is going to depend upon what you're dreaming about today. And your dominating thoughts will determine your destiny. Helen Keller was born deaf and blind. Can you imagine deaf and blind? Somebody asked her one time if she could imagine anything worse than being blind. And she said, yes, having sight but no vision. Having sight but no vision. God gave Joseph a vision of his ultimate destiny. Vision is when God shows you what the end game looks like so you can get on with becoming what God says you already are. And I want to tell you, the people that are going nowhere are intimidated by people who have God-given dreams and visions. Somebody said the only way to avoid criticism is to have nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. Criticism is the death gargle of a non-achiever. I said constant criticism, habitual criticism is the death gargle of a non-achiever. Let me give you some practical pointers. Number one, your vision determines your future. Your vision determines your future. You're never going to gain momentum moving toward tomorrow if you're dragging yesterday behind you. I have an announcement here. Yesterday ended last night at 12 o'clock. It's gone. It ain't coming back. Thank God yesterday is gone and the rest of our future is in front of us. Can I say something to you? When you're bound to the past, you're blind to the future. But vision sets you free from the regrets of yesterday. It's not the will of God for saved people to go around under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. I'm telling you, brother, your sins have been put in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, from the sight of God, he can't remember them. And if God has put your sins behind him, it's high time you put them behind you. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Brother, you get over the guilt, the grief, and the garbage of yesterday. Neglecting those things. Now, don't let negative events be the defining feature in your life in a negative way. Joseph could have mulled over and opted out to become a career victim, but he didn't. He went from the palace, from the pit to the palace by the grace of God. Remember when his brothers showed up in Egypt? Guilt-ridden, thinking they were being punished. They didn't know who he was. And what did Joseph say? He said, you boys meant this thing for evil, but God meant it for good. And I'm telling you, having a future look will give you victory over your past. A just man falleth seven times, but he rises up again. And brother, as long as you get up one more time than you fall, you're still on the winning side. You say, well, I got all these weaknesses. By the way, how many know your dominant weakness? Lift your hand if you know your dominant weakness. How many have more than one dominant weakness? How many know your dominant strength? Play to your strengths. God knows your weaknesses. He'll help you with all that. Get occupied with your strengths and your weaknesses will become weaker. I'm just telling you. Your vision governs your future. Number two, your vision determines your association. Listen, if you have a vision, you won't let the people who are going nowhere take you with them. Can I say something to you? When you hang around people going nowhere, they want you to go along. You can outgrow your friends. What you're willing to walk away from will determine what God is able to bring you to. You got born into the family you got born into, but you get to choose your friends. The law of association states we become like people we hang around with. So every relationship is moving us toward our destiny or away from it. You need to qualify the people you allow and access into the arena of your life. Show me your friends and I'll tell you your future. Somebody said when you're with the right people, the best part comes out of you and the worst part of you will die. But when you're with the wrong people, the worst part will come out of you and the best part of you will die. A companion of fools will be destroyed, but a wise man walks with wise men. I like to get around people that's got the fire of God burning in their heart, and they got a good attitude, and they're not career critics and cynics. Number next, your vision will determine how you spend your time. Your vision determines how you spend your time. We all got 24 hours a day. Vision will determine what's in your library, what you watch on TV, how long you sit in front of the computer. Yeah, listen, you can do something, but you can't do everything. You can be a jack of all trades, master of none, and you can be a jack of a few trades, master of one. I believe that everybody ought to become an expert at least one thing in their lifetime. You're created with an assignment. God gave Jeremiah his assignment to be a prophet to the nations before he was born. God said in Acts 13, separate me, Saul and Barnabas. Brother, you have an assignment, and your assignment is just as important as the next man's assignment. It's not a matter of gradation. It's a matter of becoming what God created you to be, discovering your assignment, and throwing your life into it, and that's where joy and satisfaction come from. Listen, Paul said this one thing I do. He didn't say these 10 things I dabble at. Quit doing stuff you're no good at. Preacher, find out the couple of things you're good at. Focus on that and bring in somebody to take care of the rest of it. Amen? I'm just here to tell you, when it's all said and done, brother, we're going to give an account for the purpose we were created. Vision number next determines your duty. Vision determines duty. Vance Havner said the vision must be followed by the venture. The vision must be followed by the venture. It's not enough to stare up the steps. We must step up the stairs. Amen. Destiny requires diligence. Now listen, follow your dreams. Don't let the wet blanket brigade and the cold water committee put out the fire that's in your heart. Amen. Don't move away from the essence of what God has called you to do. Listen, discern your gifts. Discern your calling. Whatever you're gifted to do is what you ought to do. By the way, I'll just throw this out real quick. I know my assignment. It took me, Pastor Rogers, it took me a long time to verbalize this, but I finally verbalized my assignment. My assignment is to the hungry-hearted, revival-hearted, and the broken-hearted. When I find people that's hungry for God and revival-hearted or broken-hearted, I connect with them. Secondary issues don't mean nothing. If they're revival-hearted, God-hungry, or broken-hearted, there's a connection. That's my assignment. My assignment's not to the casual. I'm not assigned to be a pastor. I'm not assigned to be a politician. Hallelujah. That's my assignment. But you have an assignment, and you need to define your assignment and, brother, limit yourself to what your assignment is. Now listen, you can go anywhere you want to go if you're willing to take enough small steps. Your assignment will be revealed progressively. Now, when you know your assignment, there's a natural flow of energy and enthusiasm that comes through your life that attracts other people to help you fulfill your assignment. Now, can I say this? At some periods in life, we enter different seasons. We need a reassignment. A reassignment. How many know that when you get older, there's certain things that you better not keep on doing that you used to do? You better lay off that supersize me at the drive-thru or it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'll tell you that right now. You better quit that. You can't eat like you once did. You can't stay up all night unless Brother Getch. These guys are supermen. You know, they sleep 4 hours and here they are and I sleep 10 hours and I'm wore out and I got to go to Starbucks. But we're all different. But I mean, you know, in different seasons, you call for different things. Now, as you go on in life, you know, things change. Defective body parts, missing parts, replacement parts, hip hurts, can't see as good. That's one of the blessings of old age. God gave your wives, their eyesight diminishes, so they don't have to study the details of your ugly face as it gets worse as time goes on. But we're going to seasons, right? We need a reassignment. Sometimes we got to renegotiate our trajectory. You got to figure out what you're going to do with the limited time and resources and energy and intellect you've got, brother, and put yourself into the thing that God's called you to do and quit doing stuff that you don't have any business doing. I have no interest in trying to fix a car. There's no books in my library on how to repair a car. Plus, I drive Toyota, so I don't need a mechanic anyhow. But I'm just telling you, brother. I have no interest in cooking the British Bake Off. I could care less about all of that. That's not my assignment. Brother, find out what your assignment is. Keep it simple. Now, by staying focused, you're going to draw people to you like a magnet. Because somebody's studying. They're studying and evaluating your progress, your pursuits, and your potential. People obsessed with their assignment attract others to help them fulfill their God-given mission. Now listen, if you've got a God-given dream, go for it. Can I just say something to you? Your dreams need to be bigger than your memories. I don't care if you're 90 years old, you still need some dreams. You know what's been robbed of us? We've lost our dreams. Some of y'all need a dream wall. Most of our homes, we have pictures of the past, our experiences in our family. It's historical. It's pointing to the photographs and the pictures in our homes pretty much are about the past. Well, why don't you dedicate one wall in your house to the future? Call it a dream wall. Put up pictures of things you want to accomplish, things you want to see. I got in a pit of depression and I said, I put up a picture of three books. I went to the computer and made an image of three books. I put it on my dream wall. It's in my sunroom. It's really a dream window. And I put that up there. And I put up some other pictures. We want to give away 500,000 books. I put that up there. We want to distribute 1,000,000 books. I put that up there. And you know, I put up these images, these pictures of things that I wanted to see happen. You realize when you can sustain something in your mind, like a God-given vision, you'll find a way to make it happen. And I'm telling you, 5 months later, brother, guess how many books we had written, edited, printed, and published? Guess how many? Three, because I had three up there. I'm going to have to rip that down and put up another photograph. But it's a dream wall. Now, listen to me. Habakkuk said, write the vision and make it plain. Document your vision, create a plan. Now, notice this thing on the screen up here. The BHAG. Read this out loud. Big, hairy, audacious goal. It's not talking about your beard. Big, hairy, audacious goal. The Harvard Business Review came up with this. Let me ask you something. What is your BHAG? What is your dream, sir? Preacher, what is your dream? Listen, don't listen to all this fatalism. Thank God for those comments. There's nothing wrong with a little holy optimism. Nothing wrong with a little holy aspiration. Somebody said you ought to aspire to inspire before you expire. I want to inspire people. Listen. What about that? Nothing wrong with a little holy aspiration. People and men of dreams and visions. The men in our generation have been so socialized, humanized, feminized, and emasculated. But a Christian is not somebody who is passive and looks like Spock on Star Trek with all his emotions and all his visions and dreams just depleted out of him. I don't know where we got the idea that Christians are supposed to look like a pack of sand somewhere. Brother, I'm telling you, when you're animated with the Spirit of God, I don't care what your personality is. I know we're all different. But brother, when you got something burning in your heart, it's going to show up in your life somewhere. And we need some dreams to come back. And when the Spirit of God is poured out, the old men dream dreams and the young men see visions, brother. Old Livingstone said, I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward. I ain't backing up. That's why we have prayer advances. We don't have prayer retreats. We're not going back, brother. We're going forward. Listen to this quote by Glenn Clark. We see facts with our eyes. We see ideas with our minds. But we see ideals with our souls. Whatever we see with our souls is real and permanent and cannot be destroyed. You got to see it in your heart. Now, there's a dream for this tent meeting here in Sacramento. Let's believe God to save hundreds. There's a dream here for the awake America. There's a dream for your men's praise God. We ought to have to go to the Coliseum somewhere, brother, and kick that other bunch out so we'll have room to accommodate the people. I'm telling you, have some dreams, man. Dare to dream. What you see in your mind is what you pursue. Listen to me. The mental photograph that dominates your mind will dictate your behavior. Now listen, some of you, your dream is the reform is unanimous because you got a heart for people that are broken. Go for it. Some people have a vision to teach Sunday school. We had a Sunday school teacher that taught our children. It was her policy to be in the home of every one of her students at least once a year. That was her thing. Now, you're a husband, you've got an assignment. You're a grandfather, you've got a blessed assignment right there, man. I'm going after my grandchildren, Brother Getch. I'm just telling you. If anybody's going to be weeping at my funeral, I want my grandchildren to know that Poppy loved them. I want them to know that. I'm passionate about it. And brother, find out why you're here and what your purpose is and get on with the thing. Now, we're talking about your life mission, so I want to help you get started in documenting your vision. So, no, these are on your paper right here, these four questions. Number one, what goals would I set if I knew I could not fail? Now, think about it, and I want you to write a mission statement in just a minute. Number one, what goals would I set if I knew I could not fail? What would you try to do if you thought you might succeed? Tim, what time do we need to finish? 10 minutes ago. Sorry. David took a risk when he went against Goliath, but it was a calculated risk. He had already slain a lion and a bear, but he was willing to do what nobody else would do. And David was prepared, and he seized the opportunity, and he went out and slew Goliath. Scores of people never attempting anything significant because they are afraid they might fail. Well, if you ain't doing nothing, you're already failed. You ain't got nothing to lose. Shake a leg and get with it. Find out what you're supposed to do. Oh, Joshua marched around Jericho 7 times. Gideon defeated the Midianites with trumpets and lamps. Noah prepared an ark even though it never rained. Naaman had leprosy, but he obeyed the voice of the prophet. He got dipped 7 times and got healed. Listen, they all obeyed what God told them to do. And you will never progress beyond your last point of disobedience. Amen. That's why we got to keep our repentance current and act on what God tells us to do. Now, God may tell you to do something that makes no sense from a human point of view. But you got to move from the pit of logic to the palace of faith. And don't overanalyze everything. Hudson Taylor said many Christians estimate their difficulties in light of their own resources. And thus attempt little and often fail in the little they do attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence being with them. What would you do if you thought you might succeed? Number two, here's a question that'll help you. What inspires, captivates, and dominates your thinking? What inspires, captivates, and dominates your thinking? These are clues to your assignment. Now listen to me. What are you interested in? In your heart of hearts, what's your greatest desire? What do you dream of doing? What makes you smile? What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? Tears are a clue. If you weep over lost people, you'll be a soul winner. If you weep over revival, you'll see a revival. If you weep over children, you'll have a ministry. If you weep over, get angry about injustice, that's a clue. That might be your assignment. You have a burden for the governmental affairs, that's a clue to your assignment. And this brother is doing his assignment. Now, what do you want to accomplish in life? I'm telling you, you discern the will of God through your sanctified desires. Pay attention to your sanctified desires. Now, I believe that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, what you want is what God wants. I ain't talking about temptation. I'm talking about these inner motivations. Clues that will help you. I just gave you a few of them. Well, what are your favorable qualities? What do people compliment you about? If everybody on planet Earth made $10 an hour, which may come to pass depending on who gets elected. If everybody made $10 an hour, what would you want to do? What captivates you? What are you passionate about? Oh, dear brethren, what causes you to weep? Oh, what causes you to weep? I'm telling you, if you weep over your family, God might use you in your home. Tears are a clue, provide a clue as to how God is going to use us. What moves you at the deepest level? And I'm telling you, when in touch with God, there's these movings that sporadically come over our hearts. Number three, what price am I willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? You've got to be willing to step out in faith and take responsibility. Can I say something to you? David was the one that picked up and slung the stone, not God. Quit reading some of these eggheads. I'm just telling you. David was completely trusting in God, but he picked up the rocks, not God. D.L. Moody said, pray like it's all up to God. Work like it's all up to you. That's good theology. I'm going with that right there. Don't spiritualize lazy habits. Aggressively follow up what God leads you to do. Your vision is something you pursue, not something you observe. You're not a bystander in your destiny. You're a participant with God in following the leading and the burden he puts upon your heart. Now, you can't expect God to work if you're not. Number four, what sacrifices am I willing to make? Are you willing to give up other things for this one thing? Joseph sacrificed immediate gratification for a preferred future. He sacrificed the right to become bitter and feel sorry for himself. Look, what are you willing to sacrifice in order for your dream to become a reality? And God told the prophet, write the vision and make it plain. Document the vision, write it down, that BAG, that big, hairy, God-given burden that's in your heart. So here's what we're going to do. Pull out your pen, turn on the back, right here on your paper. Here's these four questions. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take about 3 minutes. I want you to look through those questions right there. Four questions to determine your vision. And I want you to answer and write down a brief mission statement at this particular time. It's not an encyclopedia, okay? Concise is good. And what is your vision? What is your purpose? What is your mission? What has God put in your heart? Let me just say this. Brethren, you better have a vision for your family. You better have a vision for your children. I'm telling you, when a man gets right with God, he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children. You need a vision for your family. You need a vision for your ministry, sir. We all have a ministry. By the way, the worst thing that ever happened is when guys get up and talk about calling to full-time Christian service. Every child of God is called to full-time Christian service. There's vocational service, but everybody's in full-time. Is anybody with me on this point right here? That's one of the better points I've made. We're all in full-time Christian service. What is your ministry vision? Let me ask you this. I hope you have a vision for revival. I hope you have a vision. If you're a businessman, I hope you have a vision to make a lot of money for the glory of God and invest it in God's people and God's work and help people. Listen to me. Being broke is nothing spiritual about being broke, and we're all against the prosperity gospel. Some of us ought to get against the poverty gospel. And the Obamacare Baptists need to learn how to trust God, and we need to pay our ministers enough to live to where they're not dependent on welfare when they retire. I'm telling you the truth. Most of us come from meager backgrounds. Never mind what we come from. Let's try to aspire to have enough to fulfill the mission. You know what prosperity is? It's having enough resources to fulfill the mission that God's given you in life. My mission is to take care of my wife. And buddy, when I die, I don't want her lining up for food stamps. Is anybody with me on this point right here? I hope you have a vision for your business. I hope you have a vision for God. I hope you have a vision for eternity, man. Hey, wouldn't it be great at the judgment seat? The fact that we were here, that there's going to be a lot of people at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Wouldn't that be something? I get notes every now and then. Brother Vaughn, you were at our church 30 years ago, and just want to let you know, I got saved in that meeting. I have no idea about this. And I'm thinking, man alive. So if you want to reap a lot, you got to sow a lot. So brother, we need to have a vision for eternity. Amen. So write down some fine family goals, financial goals, spiritual goals, ministry goals, and just real quick, about three minutes, just write down and make a vision statement of what your current mission in life is, all right? Just a few minutes, write that down. Look at those questions. Write it down. I want you to get with a brother. I want you to get with a brother real quick. And I want you to say, hey, this is what I sense my current vision is at this particular time. This is my mission at this present time. It don't have to be perfect, but just put it down. I got mine hungry-hearted, revival-hearted, broken-hearted. That's why I'm here. I'm not trying to do all this other stuff because I'm not qualified to do it. And by the way, when you know what your assignment is, it will eliminate a spirit of competition, and you can't be jealous of another man. If he's doing his assignment and you're doing yours, we're all in cooperation, not competition, and we're rejoicing, aren't we? Amen.